But my experience says something different. And it has an influence. This experience has an influence over me. And I waver between these two opinions. And your solution to my problem, Elijah, of if the Lord is God, then follow him, feels way too simplistic in the light of the thing that I'm struggling with. Looking at this story, though, I saw that Elijah didn't move straight from the Lord is God, follow him, to fire from heaven to prove it. That misses a huge chunk out of the story. It takes out the part of what Elijah did in the gap between what he believed would happen and what resulted. And Elijah filled the gap by building an altar. And he put a sacrifice on the top. All prepared, all ready to receive the fire and be a channel for God's answer to his prayers. Okay then, how do we build an altar? Well, God lays out really specific plans on how to build an altar, which says that you can only use the stones that are lying around. You can't ever take tools and make them look nice before you use them in the altar. You have to take them rough and ready and exactly as they are. Now, I am not suggesting you all go home and build little stone altars in your back gardens, okay? The altar that the Lord is requiring now is built in us and in our lives. Romans 10:10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and saved." For us as Christians, our altars are no longer external, but the altar is internal. It is our hearts, but the rules still apply. God expects you to come just as you are. God expects us here at CBBC to come just as we are. Rough, but ready. Okay? I'm standing here. But anyway, I won't say that. I was going to say that. But I'm speaking life, so I won't. Do you remember when you first came to the Lord, when you were first saved? I do. I remember being overwhelmed by grace and the mercy of God. It was tangible in my world. I was a new creation. I felt different. I acted differently. I read my Bible all the time. I was praying all the time. I was in church all the time. I loved everyone, even my enemies. Yeah. I kind of wore this cloak of Christianity. Oh, come on. I thought it looked pretty good. So I wore this cloak of Christianity, okay? And I felt clean. I felt forgiven. I felt all these possibilities for my future. That was the first altar I ever built in my heart. And you know, it's one of my favorites. But what happened to the altar in Elijah's day also happens to the altars of our hearts. Elijah came to the altar on Mount Carmel and he found it in disrepair and in disuse. No one was making the effort to maintain the altar and the rocks had been scattered and the altar was broken. Happens to us. Remember my beautiful joy-filled heart when I was first saved? I didn't keep that very long. There were sins in me. I know you're shocked, aren't you? There were sins in me that I said were just way too difficult for me to give up. But actually, if I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to give them up. But those sins obliterated the altar of my heart. There were these difficult situations that happened in my world, and I found I was filled with like doubt and unbelief, and I couldn't see the point in keeping up the altar of my heart all ready for God when, well, it hadn't come through for me before. Mostly, the altar of my heart was destroyed by people. They would do things, okay? They were frustrating and annoying and hurtful, and I found my beautiful altar that was built with stones of loving and forgiving and grace and the mercy of God was torn down as my heart reverted back to anger and bitterness and offense. They were the stones that I used in my heart. Oh, then I'd remember I was a Christian, okay? Because, see, it's like my little cloak would slip and I saw what my heart was like. And I think, oh, damn it, I'm a Christian. Oh, damn it, I'm not allowed to say damn it anymore. And because I'm a Christian. And so I try and put this cloak back on and try and act like a really good Christian, whatever one of those is. But I tried. But underneath this cloak, the altar of my heart, completely wrecked. Out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth speaks. Oh my gosh, is that true? What spews out of you when life squeezes you or when someone pushes your buttons, that's the indication of where your heart is at. Now, I could keep up all the good Christian appearance until the pressure was applied. And it could be an insignificant issue, or it could be a really huge issue, but at some point, I would let everything rip, and it would all come out of me, and you would all know where my heart was at. You're all shocked, aren't you? I know you're surprised that I could be so vocal. You know, the thing would come out of me as soon as the pressure was applied, because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. Here's the thing. I do not believe I am the only person who does this, right? I think, yes, yeah, we do, don't we? Life squeezes you. I mean, oh, bless, look, I love you all. Sometimes, you know, you're going to push my buttons. And so there is that thing, and that's the time where we're going to find out where we're all really at. You know, me and how I respond and you and how you forgive me. So, look, we can modify our behavior and we can act like good little Christians all we like. But unless we deal with the altars of our hearts, then nothing is going to change. Here's the thing. We pray and we expect to see the fire of God, fire being the sovereign intervention of God that changes everyone's perspective. Okay? So we pray and we expect to see the fire of God. But God looks at the situation and says, great! Love it that you're praying. Where's the altar? Have you prepared your heart at all? Or even worse, he might say to us, you're kidding, right? He sounds a lot like me. He might turn around and say, you're kidding, right? You want me to use that altar that you've been building with stones of bitterness and offense over years? No, I won't do it. Building an altar means coming as you are. Maintaining the altar is only possible through repentance and through forgiveness. Let me give you a personal example of what I mean. Just so you know, this didn't happen in this church. Okay. I was in church and someone who knew better used prayer to slap me down in public, and I was unhappy with that. If you don't realize that is a... you don't laugh. Okay, that was a major, major understatement. I was more than unhappy. My gosh, I was every emotion you could possibly have, none of them positive, right? And there was a couple of reasons why I was so mad. Firstly, it's spiritual abuse, and it is wrong, okay, to do that. But I hadn't done anything wrong. Now look, don't get me wrong. There were so many other issues they could have picked on that I might have had. But on that one, They were bang out of order because on that thing, I absolutely had not done anything wrong. Okay? Do you remember what Elijah challenged us with? He said to us, if the Lord is God, then follow him. Here's the situation. I couldn't do it. You see, when Jesus was falsely accused and publicly humiliated, he responded immediately with love and with mercy and with forgiveness. I could not follow Jesus in that path. I wanted retribution. I wanted fire from heaven and I wanted it to fall on them. And I felt, and I still believe, that I would have been right and justified if the Lord had responded to that prayer. Okay, because they were wrong. Smite them, O mighty smiter. Yes, definitely. If you've seen, what's that movie? Bruce Almighty. By the time, so I left the meeting. I left the meeting with my mouth shut. I know. Well done. Go me. I left the meeting. But by the time I got home, the altar of my heart completely obliterated. So I got home and I talked to the Lord about it. And get this. The Lord said nothing about that other person's attitude. Even to this day, not one word has he said about it. Okay? My attitude seemed to have a lot to say about. He said, right now, Julie, you are way more concerned with being right than you are with loving people. When did love become an option for you? Oh, I know. And another thing, as if that wasn't bad enough. It was like, and another thing, Julie. If you were secure in how I made you and what I've called you to do, you wouldn't care what that man's opinion was of you. And do you know what? I couldn't argue with him because the Lord was right. So I repented. But having repented, though, that still left me with the fact that this person had hurt me. It's no good saying, listen, if you don't hear anything else today other than the fact that I'm a horrible person who spews out stuff, if you don't hear anything else today, can you hear this? It is no good saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Okay? Because what you'll do is just going, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, well, it doesn't matter until one day it really does matter and everything that you've been doing, it'll just come out of you, every one of the hurts and bitterness that you've got, because you just can't hold it together. And here's the other thing. If you shove a lid on it and say, it doesn't matter, oh, well, it doesn't matter, they hurt me, it festers away in there and it becomes putrid. And you take that lid off and, oh, my gosh, the stink. Trust me. Don't put a lid on it because it does matter. It matters that someone hurts you. It matters to you and it does matter to the Lord. But the only way you are ever, ever going to be free of it is if you forgive. What I wanted to do was go up to that person, possibly punch them on the nose. I felt like that would be clear communication. I could have done that and been arrested, but it would not have changed me. It would not have helped me at all. Well, I might have done for a little bit, but not for very long because that issue is still in my heart. It's still going to go putrid. It's still going to keep going over and over in my mind because it's still in me. And the only way you are ever going to be free of that is if you forgive. So that's what I did. I prayed and I said this, right? Father, I choose to give that person a gift they do not deserve. Because that's what forgiveness is. No way did he deserve, he, she, it, deserve my forgiveness. Okay, they did not deserve it. I was giving them a gift they didn't deserve. Right? So So, Father, I choose to give that person a gift they truly do not deserve. And I, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord, for being a jerk. And I forgive them, Lord, for spiritual abuse. And I forgive them, Lord, for dishonoring me. And I forgive them for being totally, completely, and utterly wrong. Because, Lord, whenever, Lord Jesus, I have asked you for forgiveness, you have always done so willingly and so freely. And so, Lord God, from that grace that you've given me, I now forgive them in Jesus' name. It is really costly to build altars in our hearts, because it means we have to do things that actually we'd rather not do, and things that are going to cost us. Because sometimes when I do that sort of thing, the Lord will allow me then afterwards, once my heart is right, to go to that person and say, can we have a little chat? He won't let me in this one. He just has said to me, because afterwards I was like, can I go now and talk to them? He was like, no. And he never gave me the opportunity, as much as I would like the opportunity. It's really costly to forgive. It's really costly because you have to face the issues of your own heart and repent of the attitudes you've got. It's really costly because you have to give people a gift they don't deserve in forgiveness, and you have to truly leave it in the Lord's hands and allow him to be the one who's going to sort out that other person and not you. It's costly, isn't it? You know, sometimes circumstances of life, they come along and they kick down our altars, and sometimes it's just that we allow them to fall into disrepair and we haven't been keeping them up. Whatever the issue is, repentance and forgiveness have to be our number one priority if we're going to have the altars of our hearts ready for the power of God. Elijah, he filled the gap between what he believed would happen and what resulted by building an altar. And church, so should we. That's what we're called to do. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to respond to the word that you have given us this morning. And Lord, we want to say that we want to be like Elijah, who is a human being just like us. And we want to be, Lord, a people who can pray in your name and see, Lord, the results of that prayer tangibly outworked in a way that people say, the Lord, he alone is God. But Father, we want to recognize that to do that, Lord, we need to fill the gap with these altars. And so, Father, we come before you now in the knowledge that, Lord, we don't really fully understand what it is we're asking. We don't perhaps, can't maybe get our heads around the cost of building these altars or the price that we will have to pay. But, Lord, we come before you now in the knowledge that, Holy Spirit, to do this anyway, we would need you. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you teach us, Lord, to be a people who build altars and a people who regularly maintain them? Would you cause it to be, Lord, that we are a people of repentance and forgiveness? Lord, that we are a people who always have the altars of our hearts ready, that the power of God might be earthed and displayed through us and through our lives. And we ask that, Lord, all of this will be possible, Lord, as we follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one more thing. You have a seat. I was just aware of the fact that, you know, whenever you pray for some, I prayed for patience, okay, and I was given twins. Oh, my gosh. You know that thing, be careful what you pray for, okay? And I was thinking, Lord, if I pray in CBBC for opportunities for repentance and forgiveness, does that mean we're all going to be yucky to each other over the next little while? And listen, in the nicest possible way, the Lord said to me, don't worry about it. There won't be an increase in opportunities because, you know, church, you have no problem in rubbing each other up the wrong way anyway. So I'm not going to say that in the next season there will be an increase in relationship difficulties. What I am saying is that in this season, those difficulties may be highlighted to us as individuals because the Lord has given us an opportunity to practice and an opportunity to build the altars of our heart. So when someone comes along, okay, and presses your button, go, "Oh, thanks, darling. You're such a blessing in my world. I thank you so much for the opportunities that you're giving me to build the altars of my heart." Okay? So, church, go in peace. Have a lovely... Oh, we're going to sing. We're going to sing. I thought we were going for coffee so you could press each other buttons, but we're going to sing first.